Okay, Romans 12. Let's go ahead and go 6 through 8 again to kind of get up to speed, and then we'll pick it up at verse 8. That's where we left off last time. So who'd read Romans 12, 6 through 8? Delbert? Okay, thank you, Delbert. So verse 8, we're just going to pick it up there. We're not going to backtrack here. It says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. In other words, is what Paul is in the process of saying here, whatever your gift is, use it. Don't sit back on in the bleachers and do nothing. And, use the gift that God expects us to use what he's given us. All right. So, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. The word means to encourage, to strengthen, to advise, and to comfort. It could be to encourage in the sense of encouraging them out of sin into righteousness, leading them to Christ, okay? It could be comforting them in trouble or sorrow. We never prayed, did we? Let's take care of that. Sorry about that. Dear Father, Lord, we're living in troublesome times. And Lord, we can't believe that how quickly this nation has turned so far away from you. And Lord, and the things we're voting on, Lord, absolute wickedness. Lord, totally contrary to the Word of God. And Lord, and yet we're deceived by these things, and we have politicians that's putting things into law and forcing us to abide by it, and Lord, in which we got to draw a line. You know, if it's contrary to the Word of God, we got to say no and suffer the consequences, and Lord, to stand for the truth. And Lord, give us wisdom to do that. Lord, it's difficult to know what to do and how to handle a lot of these things. But Father, as we look to the book of Romans now, I pray that you'll open our hearts. Lord, we're talking about service right now, serving you. The first 12 chapters have talked about salvation, basically, and what all God has done and how to be saved and these types of things. And now what we're on is in service. And now that we've been saved, Lord, you've given us different gifts. And Lord, you've given them to us for a purpose, to be used to further your kingdom. And Lord, help us to do that. And so as we're looking at these different gifts, and Lord, convict our hearts of areas where we need to be doing more and doing better. And Lord, convict all of us. And it's been a big conviction for me, Lord, I pray. So just open our hearts for the message you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We're talking about exhortation right now. I have, for years, I have always thought that is my gift, is exhortation. I really don't consider my gift teaching. I'm here doing it, okay? But you'll notice that a lot of people, they can glance at their notes and they can walk off and they can just talk for 10 minutes and come back and look at their notes and go here and talk for another 10. I can't hold my thoughts together. So I have to basically just read my notes, and you're all aware of that. I wish I didn't have to do that. But any time I get off of my notes, I mean, things fall apart. So, anyway. Okay, exhortation. It could be comforting them in time of sorrow. And thank you, God, for the encouragers. We need you. Folks, we need people that can stand up and encourage us and help, you know, kind of come along beside us, kind of like a paraclete, you know, and they call the Holy Spirit a paraclete. He comes along beside us and helps us along. Well, the encouragers, those that have exhortation, they do that. They try to help encourage people, bring them along, okay? They come alongside the weak and strengthen them. the faint-hearted and give them courage. They come alongside the sorrowful and give them comfort. Thank you guys for the comfort you have been giving me these last just about 11 months now. 11 months since her surgery. August the 31st was her surgery. So we're about in at 11 months now. The gift of exhortation is a ministry of challenging God's people to act consistent with God's will, to encourage people in the Word of God. And then it goes on. We're going to talk about giving, okay? The gift of giving. The Bible says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Okay, so what does that mean? Simplicity can be translated liberally. Okay? If you have the gift of giving, if God has given that to you, give liberally. It means to super give. And usually those that have the gift of giving, God has given them the wherewithal to earn a lot of money. It is talking about financial giving. You know, I mean, you're also giving out of your heart, but it basically is talking about giving financially. In other words, people that are able to give large sums of money, you know, to whatever Christian cause it is. And it says to do that with simplicity. It means to impart one's earthly possessions, to be a super giver, you know. They make a lot of money, they give a lot of money. We're thankful for the people that are able to do that, you know. There's some philanthropists out there that can have made some great contributions for the cause of Christianity. Some teach that God gives those whose gift is giving are also given the ability to earn large sums of money so they can give more. Now, all of us are to give, okay? That does exclude the rest of us. All of us are to give, but some have the gift of super giving. When you give with simplicity, that means you are to give with a single purpose. You give for the glory of the Lord, for the joy of giving, for obedience to Christ, and nothing else is on your mind. You're not tooting a blowing a horn before you give, okay? So everybody can stand up and see how much you give, okay? There's no thought, boy, I hope someone is looking so they will see my generosity. Christ said, two things that characterized the giving by the Pharisees was that they gave to fulfill a religious responsibility. Okay, well, I'm doing this because I have to. All right. And also to be seen by men. And a lot of times, I guess they would, when they walked up to give, a lot of times they had a money box, I guess, at the back of the sanctuary back in them days. But anyway, somehow they would blow a horn or they'd do something, rattle a bunch of bells and stuff to say, hey people, I'm getting ready to give and I want you to see how much I'm putting in the box. And they wanted to be seen by men and be praised by men. Oh man, I'm so thankful for you that you're able to give this and to keep our church going. And wrong motives, folks. Not like the Macedonians. First they gave themselves. And then they gave all they had. Macedonians did that. They pooled their money together, put it all in one big pot, and then as people had need, they'd draw money out of the pot. That's the way they lived. Some had more, some had less, but everybody was taken care of. Okay, and the Bible goes on to say, and he that ruleth with diligence. All right, ruling is the same thing as 1 Corinthians 12:28, where the gift there is called government. So ruling and government, two different names meaning the same thing. Ruling means to lead, to manage, to be in charge, to oversee. This is a gift of leadership. God gives some the gift of leadership, to be in leadership. The ability to organize, to administrate, to make something happen, cover all the details, mobilize the people, accomplish the job. Folks, we need them people. There's people in our church that have that ability, okay? A good application of this gift is the elders and the deacons of the church. You know, they keep this thing going. I mean, right now they're in the process of trying to find another pastor, you know. And folks, pray for our church. I'm very thankful this man is coming to fill in the gap, you know, and to help steer us and guide us through this process. I think it's an absolute blessing. I asked if I could vote, but I wasn't going to be here. I basically knew the answer already, but anyway, I talked to Jeffrey about it. He said, I'll check the Constitution on that, Jim. He came back and says, no, you can't vote, Jim. Can't vote. You're not going to be here. You got to be present to vote. Okay, I kind of remembered that, but I wanted to vote. Anyway, my vote would have been yes, folks. Anyway, they demonstrate ability to control varying elements within their own homes. In other words, they demonstrate their ability by their family. You know, in fact, the Bible says if you can't keep charge of your own family, you know, you should not be in leadership in the church. If your family's falling apart, your kids falling apart, you sure don't need to be in church leadership. It's a very important gift. And so those of you who have the gifts of leadership, get involved in that. Do it with zeal. With, you know. And again, these things don't, I repeat again, they don't have to be done in this church. You might be able to organize something, you know, outside the church. You know, get a group of, get your neighborhood kids together, have a Bible study, you know, stuff like that. God has designed a church to have leaders. It's kind of interesting. One pastor said, I remember when the first person came to me and said, I think we ought to have a tape ministry. Now, that kind of dates my notes here as to how far back that, you know, when this guy was preaching, and they were having tapes, okay, tapes of, I still got a bunch of them, but anyway, they've gone by the wayside, basically. And I said, great, why don't you do that? I don't have time, so you go ahead and do it. And the guy said, no, I'm just telling you we need it. And the preacher says, right, and I'm just telling you to do it. You know? And he said, you mean me? I said, it's your idea. The Spirit of God put it in your heart. Make it happen. If you believe that's what's on your heart, go do it. Make it happen. Okay? And folks, this can apply to all kinds of stuff here. And the guy went out and made it happen. They had wound up having a very successful tape ministry. And he said, thank you, Lord. The pastor did. The pastor said, I don't have time. I got other stuff to do. Okay, it's a great idea. Do it. Okay? I remember when we had no women's ministry. This is this pastor still speaking. I remember when we had no women's ministry. And some women came and said, we need a women's ministry. And a women's ministry was started. Now, of course, people don't come as often because they know what I'm going to say. So they just keep their mouths shut and they don't come up with their ideas because they know what he's going to put them to work on it. And they don't want to do that, okay? But that's really critical. If you see a need and you know how action can be taken to resolve it, don't tell me. The pastor's still talking here. Get some other folks who have the same like-mindedness and see what God might do as you begin to move. My enemy tells me we are 2 minutes overdue. Okay. Any questions or comments before we move on? Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we're living in chaotic times. And Father, we're thankful we have your word to fall back on. Lord, you've given us this instruction book. And Lord, help us to do our very best to live by it. And Lord, to study it, to learn it, to know what it says. Help us to take your word seriously, Lord, more seriously than we have ever have before. I pray now that you'll be with Pastor, Lord, and be with him. Give him strength, Lord, as he brings a morning message. I pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts, you'll speak to us. And Lord, help us to act on what we've been convicted of and not just to slough it off and go home and get back to life in general. Lord, I just pray that you'll be molding us and changing us as we continue to study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.